Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Pretty powerful stuff. Amen? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Easter people, this is a powerful text. It's an amazing thing. Although for even Christians, it can be a little challenging. Many years ago, I had a man who grew up in Finland, came over and lived his adult life in America, raised a handful of sons, and he had moved to Northern California to live with one of his sons for a time, and he wanted to be a part of a Lutheran church, and so he came, and I asked him to take a basics class, and it was a class that I had a couple of times a year, and I would invite members to attend, and it was really interesting to see some of the friendships that would develop between the new members and the old members. And as we began our class, which was my custom for quite some time, we'd just go around the room and share our favorite ice cream and talk about what we're wondering about and maybe even what we're struggling with. And I can't remember what anyone else was struggling with for that class, but he struck us all. He said, "You know, I've struggled with something my dad said the last day of his life. I've struggled with it all my life." And, you know, of course, oh boy. And then he explained, on the day that my dad died, and this would have been in Finland, he told everybody it was the happiest day of his life because he was going to see Jesus. And this man, his name was Igar, he said, "I've struggled with that my whole life." And of course, you know, we went on with a class and he was a part of us for a few years. And you know, I didn't make it my point to land the fish or anything. I figured, okay, I'm just glad he shared, you know. So I'm glad they were honest about what they were struggling with. But then he went out to Santa Rosa to live with one of his other sons for a time. And he made it a point to stop by and let me know that he was leaving. And he also said, "Pastor, I want you to know, I now understand what my dad meant." And I thought, that was so cool. Happiest day of my life. You know, Joel Osteen has a book out, Your Best Life Now. No. Your best life will be the moment you breathe your last and travel to the shore of forever and see Jesus. That's your best life. That's my best life. And we have this hope because of what God has done through his Son in giving us a stark view of the cross and the grave And now the empty grave, and we live in the light of the empty cross and empty grave of Jesus. So we have a different view. We look at things differently than the world who has no knowledge of Jesus. We know that as permanent as death may feel, it's only temporary. We know that how permanent it may look, it's only temporary. In fact, we know that it's only a door through whom we, through which we walk, traveling to new worlds. And we have this because God has revealed to us in his word about a different world. And we don't know what heaven looks like. We have some glimpses in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 25, it's a wonderful feast of all kinds of wonderful things. And we see God swallow death himself, you know. God eating death and swallowing it. I wonder what death does in the gut of God. It gets digested. I mean, just so many powerful images. It's not about what we see as much as what God does and how free we are. And there are wonderful pictures of the heavenly throne in John's revelation, but we really don't know. Only that Jesus came to give to us the gift of heaven. I mean, how wonderful it is to be able to say to someone who's dying, I love you and I'll see you later, knowing that this isn't the end. I don't know how many times I've said that to people over my ministry. I came from a congregation where usually you did 12 to 14 funerals. And, you know, it was just so comforting to be able to say, I love you and I'll see you later, knowing that this isn't the end. And we have this hope because of what God has done for us through his Son. I mean, there are even some amazing things that happen when people are beginning to die and how they can have peace. And so many stories could be told about that. But even Stephen today, as he's being stoned to death, who does he see on his heavenly throne but Jesus? And so even before he dies, he gets a glimpse of heaven, and everyone else is just enraged. And so it's just holy ground, and it's sacred, and it's precious. And Easter people have a plan forever. If this life is something, we've seen nothing yet. If there are things to discover and deal with and enjoy here, we've seen nothing yet. What God has in store for us through his Son is absolutely amazing. It's amazing. I mean, if what's fascinating about this in John 14, you know, this is part of his passion narrative. It starts in chapter 12 where Jesus says, my hour has come. We call it the passion narrative of our Lord's life for us. And you know, in the meal where he fulfills the Passover and he institutes the Lord's Supper, he also talks about how he's going to prepare a place for the disciples. He's going to prepare a place for us. But it's even fascinating to think that Jesus ushers people into that place even before his resurrection to the thief on the cross, who deserved to be there, who deserved all that was coming his way. As he's hearing the jeers and the abuse, the verbal abuse, sees the physical abuse of Jesus, he starts to realize there's something about this one. As he sees the disciples, as he hears what's going on, so you called yourself the King of Kings. Save yourself, get off the cross and save us. Somehow the Holy Spirit worked faith in him so that he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. He could have said, go to hell. He could have said to all of them, go to hell. I mean, God could have said to the whole human race, go to hell. I mean, that's what we deserve for all of our sin and wickedness and transgression. That's really what we deserve if we really are going to get what's coming to us. It would be God's divine justice to give us all that we deserve, where the worm does not die and the fire doesn't go out. But that was not his intent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent his Son Jesus so that we wouldn't go to hell. God sent his son Jesus, who would experience hell for us so that we would be rescued. Not only that, but that our ticket to paradise would be paid. Your money's no good here. Your money's no good with God. It's not going to get you on his right side. Only in what Christ has done, and faith that trusts that saves. And to think that Jesus paid the ticket. It's paid already. We call it the now not yet doctrine. I mean, we really have heaven now. I mean, we can travel to heaven anytime we need to in prayer. We can go directly to God's throne of grace, knowing that we have this access because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We can go there and we can talk with the Lord about all kinds of things. All kinds of things. But this isn't just for us. Christ has paid the ticket for the trip to paradise for everyone. A lot of people don't know it. They have no knowledge of what it means to be loved and forgiven. They're just living in the wrath of God. They're living with fear, wrecking their lives. They're living with guilt and shame and justification to try to make things work. You know, we can talk about all kinds of things in our homes. We can teach our kids all kinds of things. We can talk with our peers at work, and we can discuss all kinds of things with our neighbors, and we can discuss things as a people in a congregation. But if we don't talk about one of the most important things that make all the difference in the world, we're telling them to go to hell. When we don't want to talk about what Christ has done, we don't share this good news about what God's love is like for people, then we're keeping them from experiencing heaven now. I mean, it's heaven to me to know that I'm loved and forgiven. It's heaven to me. I mean, I'm experiencing heaven when I know that I can talk with God about the things that are weighing me down. I mean, that's that now, not yet. I mean, heaven is ours now. And yet we're waiting for it in its fullness. And if this world is something to behold, we've seen nothing yet. Some people would rather die and go to Texas than heaven. I can't figure that one out yet. I'd prefer Wyoming, but I'd still rather have heaven, because heaven is a place with no struggle and trouble and challenge and fear. And when we share this with people around us, we're helping them experience heaven now. Heaven, being filled with peace. Heaven, knowing that this isn't all there is. Heaven, knowing that death isn't the end, but only the beginning. I mean, think about it. Heaven and hell are forever. My grandpa lived 100 years. But 100 years in forever is a moment. And there's a lot at stake with people being swept away from this world every day with whatever. And we think the coronavirus is serious. Talk about heaven and hell. Far, far more weighty matters and important things for us to focus on. You know, how many of you have Siri? Yeah? So, you know, before you talk with maybe some of your family or friends, and you're kind of feeling like you're not up to sharing with people the good news, just ask Siri, how do you get to heaven? See what she says. And then spend some time talking with her about the different ways she's trying to answer it. No, tell me if you died tonight, Siri, would you go to heaven? And just see and practice with your app and get really good at that, so that maybe you'll be bolder in talking with other people about what it means to live and what it means to die, having peace, having a confidence that you're ready to go on a trip to the land of life, to the shores of forever, to the place where Christ is even now preparing a place. I mean, we don't even know when we're going to be swept away. When it's finished, when your place is finished, you're going. Because Jesus wants you there. How did he say it? I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's his desire for you and for me. And we never know when our time will come. Certainly, we want people in our lives to be ready. To be ready. You know, Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's always talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's comparing it in different ways, about a king, about subjects, and we're a part of that. And, you know, it's interesting. So in our Lutheran doctrine, we talk about the kingdom of power. We're all in the kingdom of power, where all kinds of things aren't necessarily very easy to deal with because we're living in God's created order, the kingdom of power, where little bugs can get us and we can trip and fall, where we can have all kinds of challenges with termites, and you name it. The kingdom of power. It's the created order of God. But then, you know, we're a part of the kingdom of grace. We've been baptized. We've been brought into God's family. We live knowing what it means to receive God's grace. We know what it means to have, for God having mercy on us when we really know what we deserve. And yet when we die, we're transferred from the kingdom of power and grace to the kingdom of glory, where we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where we dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus is the way through these days. And for some of us, we've known that for a long time, but we're practicing it in different ways. For some, you know, let him be your guide. He is the way. You know, in a time like this, a lot of our earthly props that we create codependent relationships with disappear. And boy, we really need to talk with the Lord and pray and say, Lord, lead me through this. I can't quite figure this out. But he's also the truth. You know, he calls himself the truth. The truth. Even now, we're finding ourselves scratching our heads, wondering what science is saying about coronavirus and what really is science and what's pseudoscience and what isn't science at all. We'll figure it out. It'll come. It'll make itself plain. But in the meantime, we can trust that Jesus is the truth that we need. And he will not steer us wrong. He will guide us through this when he says, follow me. And he's also the life. We have life now. You know, it's that now, not yet. I mean, right now, we have life, and we ain't seen anything yet. It's going to come, and when we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all that this world is, all the sorrow and the struggle, will be gone. And in the meantime, we can take the Lord at his word and travel to heaven any time we need to talk about whatever we need to talk about. He says, ask and I will do it. Whatever you ask, that's pretty bold. There are plenty of things, temporal things, that only serve this life that we need help with. Talk to the Lord. Take a trip. There are plenty of people to pray for and pray about. And maybe before we can even tell others around us what it means to have someone pay our ticket to paradise, we can take them to Jesus in prayer. We can pray for the loved ones we don't know what to do with. We can pray for our family that we can't reach. We can pray for our enemies that we're struggling with so that we can be a godly example of what it means to love, not in a weak way, but in a strong way, in a way that actually helps and not just kicks things down the road. But we can talk with the Lord. I mean, it's such a profound promise. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And faith takes Jesus at his word, believing and asking and traveling to heaven as often as we need to. But keep in mind, one day, there won't be any trip back here. One day. And maybe it'll be the happiest day of your life. You'll stay in that place where Christ has prepared, especially for you, where you can be with him and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.